I'd just like to thank the organisers for giving us this opportunity to present some work to you, and also I'd like to thank my co-authors for allowing me to present today. So today I'll be talking about the health inequalities related to occupational health impacts of climate change. Now this July and August, record-breaking temperatures were reported around the world, and such headlines have become increasingly frequent over the last decade, as there has been an increase in extreme temperatures and heat waves globally. Added to this, the average global temperature has increased, and it's increased by 0.8 degrees Celsius over the last 130 years, which in of itself doesn't sound that big a change, but keep in mind it is an average global temperature increase, and therefore that is very significant. And there is overwhelming evidence that the climate is changing and that this increase in global temperature is set to continue. And this increase in temperature is illustrated here in this figure, which depicts the projected temperature changes for the 21st century under the different RCP scenarios. So essentially the main message from this figure here is that given our best efforts, we're still going to see an increase in global temperature. However, how such an increase in temperature and changes in our climate conditions will affect workers and their productivity is perhaps an area that has been received little attention to date. Although a recent global economic analysis has investigated the impact of climate change, this is a picture of the report here called the DARA report, and in this report they predicted that an increasing heat exposure will have the greatest impact on labour productivity. So our question was, how will increases in heat exposure impact labour productivity in different parts of the world? To address this question, we calculated wet bulb globe temperature for 65,000 global grid cells. Now, wet bulb globe temperature, or WBGT as I'll refer to it from now on, is a heat exposure index that takes into account air temperature, radiant temperature, humidity, and air movement. And it's the basis for work time limitations set by international health and safety standards, or ISO standards. So we use global modelling data on temperature and humidity to estimate the monthly heat stress WBGT index for two future timeframes, 2030 and 2050. And we use climate modelling data from the University of East Anglia, Centre of Climate Research Unit. And here is an example, this figure here of the global map. Is an example of what the WBGT data would look like. So in the green we have the areas which are safe or at low risk of excessive heat exposure. If you're a worker working in these areas, you're going to be okay, and you can perform heavy, moderate and light labour with little difficulty. However, as you move into the yellow regions, in those regions workers who are performing heavy labour are at increased risk, high risk of excessive heat exposure. And as we move into the orange and red, then even workers performing moderate or light work are at risk of excessive heat exposure. And by excessive heat exposure, I mean that their internal body temperature is increased to a point where they are going to suffer and slow down their work and or become increasingly sick or at risk of ill health consequences from a raised body temperature. So our work loss calculations were based on the ISO standards and the guidelines that they have for work rest ratios. And we use these work rest ratios to estimate the likely productivity losses. For example, if you look at this figure here, we assume that the maximum productivity losses, i.e. around 90%, is equivalent to the highest WBGT level. So therefore, according to those ISO work rest ratios, This means that when performing heavy work at the highest WBGT level, they recommend that the worker works for 6 minutes and then per hour. So they work for 6 minutes if they're performing heavy labour and then they rest for 54 minutes. So not a very effective or timely way to work. However, as you'll see from this figure, if you're working at different metabolic work intensities, so 500 watts and 400 watts is what we would consider heavy work or heavy labour, then you have a smaller time frame that you can work before you get that increase in internal body temperature. Whereas at the 300 watts or a moderate work intensity, you can work for slightly longer before incurring increases in accumulative heat stress. And at 200 watts is equivalent to light work. So you can work a little bit longer in high temperature situations. We also calculated the Occupational Heat Inequity Index, which was the difference in work hours lost between heavy labour workers and moderate or light labour. So on to our results. I'll just take some time to orientate you to the figures that will come up in the following slides. So on the y-axis, we have the regions that our grid cell data has been accumulated into. On the x-axis, we have the percentage of daylight hours lost, so how much time that we've lost due to increases in heat. We have the predicted loss of work hours for light, moderate and heavy work, and I'll discuss the findings with respect to work in the sun versus work in the shade. So when you're in the shade, you don't have the radiant heat source from the sun, so literally you don't have the sun beating down on you, which means that you're not quite as exposed to the heat, but we assume for the shade that there is no air conditioning. The Occupational Heat Inequity Index is the difference in percentage of work hours lost, and for our findings today I'll present the heavy versus the light labour and just present the findings related to work in the sun. And we'll be looking at three time periods. The 1975 is actual climate data from grid cells over the time periods of 1961 to 2002. So that's a 30-year average that we've collated into a one-to-one time zone, or time period, excuse me. And this data has been collected from the NOAA data source and also the University of East Anglia Centre for Climate Research Unit. And then we'll have two future time points, 2030 and 2050. And these data points are from the climate modelling results, again from the University of East Anglia. So the predicted loss of work hours in the sun for 2030, what we found is that the region most affected was Southeast Asia, followed by West Africa. So in Southeast Asia, when looking at heavy workload, the losses went from 70% in 1975, so our current climate conditions mean that 17% of daylight hours are lost in Southeast Asia due to excessive heat exposure. However, in 2030, we predict that this will increase with heavy labour to 25%. And if you look on the right side, at that figure there, you can see the comparison between heavy and moderate labour. So heavy labour, again, was at 25% in 2030, whereas moderate labour saw approximately a 12% loss of daylight hours due to excessive heat exposure. And if you compare those findings of Southeast Asia to the country or region at the other end of the spectrum, which is the USA and Canada, we see that we anticipate approximately a 5% loss in the percentage of daylight hours when looking at heavy labour. Whereas in 2050, we see that it increased to 29% of daylight hours lost. Looking again at Southeast Asia. So now the predicted loss of work hours in the shade, assuming that there's no air conditioning for 2013. This time we found that the region most affected was India, followed by Southeast Asia. and we saw that the losses went from 4% in 1975 to 8% in 2030. However, if you look at the heavy labour versus the moderate, again on the right-hand side, that figure, we see that the moderate, we estimate approximately 3.5% of daylight hours will be lost due to excessive heat inside in India. Whereas in 2050 in the shade, we estimated an increase to 10% in India. So now shifting to the Occupational Heat Inequity Index, working in the sun, and the differences between work hours lost. And here we compared the heavy labour minus the light labour. So again, our region most affected was Southeast Asia, and what we found that when comparing the heavy labour minus the light in the 1975 timeframe, we saw a 17% reduction of daylight hours lost. So right now, the difference between heavy workers and light workers is that heavy workers are able to work for 17% less time. Whereas in 2030, we found that that's increased to 22%. And if we look forward to 2050, we see that there's an increase further, almost a 25% reduction. So that's the disparity again between heavy labour versus light labour in Southeast Asia. So the key points from my presentation are as follows: that local climate conditions and changes influence public health risks, including occupational health risks. Current and future heat exposure levels are a threat to work productivity, the local economy and clinical health. People carrying out heavy labour are more disadvantaged by increasing heat exposure. And people in Southeast Asia and India are particularly vulnerable to increasing levels of heat exposure. And this has a great significance for health and social equity. And the lack of cooling systems indoor and outdoor will add to other existing health and social economic inequality risks. And here I'd just like to make a note that in terms of cooling systems, air conditioning is possible, in my opinion, not the best answer always, and that other options need to be looked at and regulated more, including clothing that people wear, hydration and just other means of providing shade and wind. So all that remains for me to say is thank you very much for your attention, and I can pass on to the next presenter.